الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: الدين والنصيحة. قيل: يا رسول الله لمن؟ قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: لله ورسول وأئمة المسلمين، وفي رواية: وفي عامة المسلمين. أخرج البخاري ومسلم في صحيحين. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very easy natural deed to follow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last Nabi of Allah, the last Rasul of Allah. We are blessed with Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala from Ajmai, companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who practiced, accepted the deed of Islam and propagated the deed of Islam. We are blessed that we believe that we from the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaat are on haq. We believe in the saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and karamatul awliya haqqun, and the miracles displayed at the hands of the saints by the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are indeed truthful. Respected elders, I would like to mention a few points concerning Iman, Islam and Ihsan. Make an effort inshallah to understand. I'll make an effort to make you understand. But if you do not pay attention inshallah, you will not understand if you go beneath your feet and above your head. So regard this as a lesson. Iman pertains to the heart and located in the heart and is inside the body. And Iman concerns aqeedah, beliefs, what a Muslim must believe. Imaniyat has got many juziyat, has got many articles. As a Muslim, we believe in many things. And in order to remain as Muslims, we believe in many, and denial of one takes a person outside the fold of Islam. For example, a person, if he denies only one aspect of Islam, like azab-e-qabr, punishment in the grave, that will render that person outside the fold of Islam. So Iman is in the heart. Iman got to do with aqeed and beliefs. And Islam pertains to everything outside which a person, which a Muslim displays. You see him fasting, you see him giving zakat, you see him going for hajj, performing and behaving like a Muslim, personality, character, dealing, buying, selling, all those things have got to do with Islam which is outside. Generally the word Islam or and they are interchangeable. But technically speaking, they have got two different locations. Iman in the heart, Islam outside. And Ihsan has got to do with beautification of Islam and Iman. Ihsan basically would mean, in the light of Hadith and Jibreel, that to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if to say we see Him, and if we cannot do that, then fully well knowing that when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah is watching us. So in every action of ours, whether it be Hajj, Zakat, Roza, whether it be buying or selling, that this action will be beautified by the concept of Ihsan, that Allah is watching me. I must do everything in accordance to the Sharia. Why Allah is watching me? With Ihsan, sincerity and devotion will be generated in that action. Now, respected elders, Iman developed into a science. Similarly, Islam also developed into a science, and Ihsan into another science. Iman developed into a science which we call Ilm-e-Kalam. Ilm-e-Kalam, the diabolical theology, the Mutakallifeen are the masters in Imaniyat or belief. And Islam developed into the science of jurisprudence fiqh. And the Imams of jurisprudence, they are the masters and they are the authorities as far as jurisprudence is concerned. And Ihsan developed into tasawwuf. Tasawwuf wrongly translated as spiritualism. Respected elders, what the West thinks about it, their tasawwuf ideas are not in accordance with Islam. Basically, tasawwuf means to train a person to perfect his a'mal so that it is worthy of presentation before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have got imams of tasawwuf also. And we have got various tasawwuf suluk lines also. Generally, because we are attached to the Indo-Pak subcontinent, we know only of four, whereas there are many more in the world. We know of the Chishtiya, the Qadiriya, the Suharwiya, and the Naqshbandiya. These we know, but there are many more. These methods of tasawwuf are actually designed to help a person so that he becomes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are methods where if a person adopts it, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him with proximity. The Imams of fiqh are namely Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. These four we know, whereas initially there were over 18 Imams of jurisprudence, but because their fiqh, their jurisprudence was not compiled and was not systemized, therefore it did not survive like how the fiqh of the four Imams survived. Respected elders, when we use this word Imam, we say that this word means an authority, an expert, a guide. This is not the Imam like how the Shias refer to Imam, because their concept of Imamology tends about to kufr. And as a result, when Shah Walillah rahmatullahi alayhi, he jacked of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Ya Rasulullah informed me about the Shias, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that look into their concept, into their ideology of Imam. And Shah Walillah rahmatullahi alayhi, when he got up, he made research of their concept of Imamah, and he concluded that their concept of Imamah, which they term as Imamology, tantamount to kufr. In fact, not tantamount, it is kufr. The Imams of the Aqaid or the Mutakallimeen, they are Abu Mansur Maturidi and Abu al-Hasan Ashari. The respected elders, these two names, many of you for the first time must have heard of. Whereas respected elders, we should be knowing our Imam in all our fields. Who are our Imams in Aqaid, our Imams in jurisprudence, and who are the Imams in Tasawwuf who guided the personnel towards reformation. What I would like to stress upon today is that as far as Aqaid is concerned, as far as belief is concerned, very little or no work is being done. Whereas if you look at a building has got a foundation and has got a structure on top of it. This foundation here, the stronger the foundation, the better the building. The deeper the foundation, the higher the building can go. Respected elders, aqeedah, belief for a Muslim is like that foundation. When our belief is strong and proper and correct and valid, and when our belief is in accordance with Quran and Hadith, then the structure of Islam that comes upon it can be high, strong and powerful. Because we do not pay attention or do not focus upon aqeedah and belief, that is why unfortunately today throughout South Africa, that any ideology presented before a Muslim, he accepts it. And he does not even know how to differentiate between right and wrong, between truth and falsehood, between haqq and batil, between good and bad, because in the aqeedah he himself does not know what to believe in. For example, respected elders, concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba Ikram, radiyallahu ta'ala, Mujmain, Quran al-Kareem, concerning those basic things, that akhirat and azab al-qabr and the life of in the grave, what is our belief, how are we supposed to react when a person, he presents a contrary view, all these things we should learn. If we do not learn it, that is why these people are taking advantage over us, and let alone in our homes nowadays, Tantianism is coming, Shiaism is coming, Kufr is coming in some light, Shirk is coming, Bidat is coming, all these things are coming. Why? Because we have not understood to realize the importance and significance that we should understand our kind, learn our kind, and practice upon it thereafter. For example, respected elders, when you go back home today and go back to your family, discuss with them in the light of Sharia for 5 minutes about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for 5 minutes about Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for 5 minutes about Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, and see how long you last. If a Muslim cannot speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for half an hour, and if an alim cannot speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for plus 1 hour in one given sitting, then there is something wrong. We are going somewhere, we think something wrong. But respected elders, contrary to that, if we have to ask a Muslim, does he know the Khulafa'i Rashidin? Can he name 4 wives of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can he name the children of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can he give names of the Ashara, Mubashara, those who are blessed to go into Jannah, given the glad tidings by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they are going to Jannah? Can we reply to these things? But Muslim, he can give the names of 4 footballers, and he can give the names of 4 rugby players, and 4 cricketers, and 4 every other thing. But concerning Deen, and concerning Allah, and concerning Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and concerning Sahaba Ikram, what has happened to our knowledge? Where are our priorities? We claim we are from the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaat, respected elders. What's the definition of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaat? How we know that we are in the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaat? How we know that other people are not in the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaat? The criterion, respected elders, in brief is that we should look at who is conforming to the Quran, who is conforming to the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who is conforming to the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, and who are those conforming to the Tabi'in who have got the quality of Ihsan. Tabi'in who have got the quality of Ihsan. As far as Quran al-Kareem is concerned, we look at it from 3 angles. One is the text of the Quran, and second is the meaning of the Quran, and third is the interpretation of the Quran. As far as the text of the Quran is concerned, the Quranic text, respected elders, has been preserved and protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and alhamdulillah, Ramadan is very close. We will see the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, that the Huffaz recite the Quranic Kareem, verbatim, word for word, gives them from memory. Yeah, one point I left to mention in Fasad, while we had it, that Hufaz, alhamdulillah, producing in great numbers, but practical hafizes to find is very difficult. Practical hafizes to find is extremely difficult. What has happened, that throughout the year, the hafiz, he behaves like a fasiqan, a fajir, a transgressor, an evil doer. As come Ramadan, he grows and adorns a beard. He grows and adorns a beard, and he wants to become the imam of the masjid, and he wants to perform the tarawih. Respected elders, understand this very clearly, that if fasiq, fajir, hafiz must not be allowed to perform the tarawih, the masjid, he may do so somewhere else. The salat is an important responsibility, and you cannot allow a person who is flagrantly demolishing the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the year, and all of a sudden in Ramadan you want to grow a beard and become an imam. Respected elders, the meaning of the Quran Kareem will be determined and the interpretation by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first. Also by the ayat of the Quran. Some ayat of the Quran explain some ayat of the Quran. Then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, when she was questioned about the character and personality of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she stated that the personality of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Quran. Meaning that he was the walking Quran. Whatever the Quran stipulated, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the explanation of the Quran. So respected elders, as the explanation given on the Quran by the Sahaba Ikram, because they are the students and disciples of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would be accepted by us. As the explanation as expounded by the Tabi'in, the followers of the Sahaba who have got the quality of Ihsan, would be accepted by us. In this age, if someone comes along and says, no one has understood the Quran Kareem, and he says that he claims that he has understood the Quran Kareem, we will say he is on batil and he is false. Worse still is that person who goes around claiming to be a Muslim and claiming to be a high scholar in Islam, and he says that the laws of inheritance as expounded in the Quran have to be revised and looked into. That's a perfect kafir. That's a perfect kafir, because the Quran Kareem laws are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no shak in it, there is no doubt in it. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran Kareem is haq, and we cannot dispute it. And a person who questions it and disputes it and who doubts it goes out of the fold of Islam. So we have brought now, respected elders, the Quran as the text, the meaning and the interpretation. The Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm using the word the Sunnah because we are the people of the Sunnah, the Ahl al-Sunnah, and the Hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is contained in the Sunnah. The Sunnah is not contained totally in the Hadith. Understand? The Sunnah encompasses the Hadith. The Hadith does not encompass the Sunnah. There's a lengthy discussion on that. But understand that principle. Basically, everything that you find in the Sunnah, we have to follow, we have to adhere to. Whatever has been asked to abstain from, we have to abstain from. Everything is not expounded in the Hadith. Simple example for you to understand, that we have got certain salat that we make it allowed. Isha, the Fajr, and the Maghrib, we recite aloud. And the others, we have got the Sirri in the Masjid, the Zohar and the Asr. Nowhere in the Hadith it has been stipulated there. That has come down from the Sunnah, mutawatir, following of the Sunnah. Whereas there is a Hadith in Abu Dawud Sharif, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ta'liman, he read the Asr Salat aloud. But there is no Hadith saying that we have to read the Salat silently. How this came about? Following the Sunnah. So we have to follow the Sunnah. Then the Sunnah, the explanation, the text of the Sunnah, provided the Hadith and the text of the Sunnah is reliable and authentic, we will follow it. If it is fabricated, concocted and weak, we will not follow it. Then the meaning and the interpretation of the Hadith and the Sunnah will be given by none other than Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba who have taught the Sunnah and the Tabi'in who understood, who have got the quality of Ihsan, who understood the Sunnah. Then we have got the action of the Sahaba themselves. The actions of the Sahaba, respected elders, the companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are hujjat in Sharia. They are proof in Sharia. That when Sahaba ikram, for example, they make Taraweeh in Jamaat, in the Masjid, that is a proof in Sharia for us, that there is a source of argumentation for us in Sharia. But the Sahaba have done it because Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have sanctioned the actions of the Sahaba, we will accept it. Now, respected elders, that the actions and the statements of the pious people, the actions and the statements of the holy people, and the actions and the statements of the righteous people, and the actions and the statements of the buzurug, and the actions and the statements of the awliya, they are not hujjat in Sharia. They are not hujjat in Sharia, they are not proofs in Sharia. And this is a musallamah, this is accepted by all the ulama, that we have to follow the Quran and the Sunnah and the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, Mal, Ihsan, who have got the quality of Ihsan, that the statement that the pattern of a buzurug is not a hujjat, not a proof in Sharia. We will look now, for example, any action that we do, and you should also do this, that any action that you do, that any belief that you hold, that you should look now, did the Sahaba do it? Did the Tabi'in who have got the quality of Ihsan, did they do it? Is it in the Sunnah? Is it in the Quran? If it is there, if it is substantiated, if it's proven, then we do it. If it's not substantiated, if it's not proven, then we do not do it. Simple, respected elders, to keep a beard is wajib. To keep a beard is wajib. We do it because it is proven in the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any action, respected elders, that when we do it, we must look carefully whether it is in the Sharia. If it is in the Sharia, we do it. If it is not in the Sharia, we do not do it. Time is running out. In this respect, I will explain to you a little bit about Iman, about Ihsan, and Islam. Iman became ilm e kalam, we have got the authorities in that. Islam became ilm e fiqh, we have got the authorities in that. And Ihsan became the soul, we have got the authorities in that. And the criteria for us, so that we can be classified amongst the Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jamaat, is that we should be following the Quran, and I will explain to you the text, the meaning, the interpretation. The Sunnah, the text, the meaning, the interpretation. The Sahaba, their actions. And the Tabi'in, the followers of the Sahaba, who have got the qualities of Ihsan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us practical Muslims, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand these, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the Muslims throughout the entire world, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy those who want to destroy Islam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uproot the hopes of those who want to destroy the Muslims, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the Muslims throughout the world, especially in Iraq at the moment, those innocent people who are caught up in the politics of Iraq and America, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the Taliban. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the Mujahideen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help every Muslim who is striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us against the Azaim, against the onslaught of the Kuffar and the imperialistic Americans.